It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, shortly before you showed up, I saw a commercial I've seen before for the Air Force. And in it, they say, "We're not just pilots and engineers, we're pioneers." And in my head, that just sounds like they combined the word pilot and engineer into pioneer. And to the degree that I sat there and I was like, no, technically it's not, because the O, it would be pioneers, but I'm like, it's still, I'm like, did nobody just say something about this sounds weird? It's like, yeah, it's like when people like to add entrepotainer or something like that kind of thing. I'm like, no, it just doesn't sound right. So
that's good.
Every time I hear it, the other one, some online college or whatever said, you know, we're dedicated to putting our students first instead of the other way around, like most online colleges.
Way around are
first
students. Our students first rather than students.
Or instead of the other way around, where students every other college puts students last, like literally everything else first. Make sure we have enough coffee stirrers. And then it's like, okay, students. Like, I'm like, yeah. They're like, instead of the other way around.
Okay,
there
students.
There isn't an other way around. This is probably what happens and why you see old people yell at the TV a lot more. They probably see enough of this and it starts sinking in. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? So this is probably the beginning of something.
I mean, when you say not the other way around, you proceed that with, we put this before this.
Exactly. That, yeah.
You don't say first, and then not mention not anything else.
Around, which, you're not aware of how many things are in sequence here.
Yeah, right.
Or what most of them are. But trust us, if you knew the whole list and students were the other way around, you would be shocked. You would say that is bad, and definitely the other way, the other way around, much better. Take my money, give me your education. That's probably the longer, probably the 60-second version of the ad.
Not the other way around.
Yep.
I'm going to have to remember that, because that's actually kind of funny.
We're not just educators and entertainers, we're edutainers.
The magical talking hat. We put the listeners first.
We put, and not the other way around. Yes.
That's great. Why does that sound so hilarious? There's something funny about that.
It's just like from the first. it took me a few viewings to really sort of sink in why that bothered me, but it bothered me just immediately. I was like, that doesn't feel right.
Well, for one thing, it can make you kind of scratch your head and go, what did they just say? But then, you know, like you're saying, there's all kinds of more humorous interpretations you can put on it, and there just seems to be no end to how funny it can sound.
It's clearly no editor. They were like, write that up. Okay, film it now. I don't want to look at it. Just do it.
Oh, it's so funny.
You said stuff about putting students first, right? Yeah, we got that. All right, good. That was the only part I was worried about.
Yeah, not the other way around.
In whatever context you put students first. We put students first and not kill them like most other colleges. We put students first and not little inanimate dolls that we call poppets, like most other colleges. So, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast that's actually a vlog. It just has the shittiest video ever. Yeah. So bad you can't even find it. But you're supposed to be able to see what's going on, too. You just can't. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 300... Uh-oh. I already forgot. You looked it up for me!
Oh my god, I totally thought you were just doing a bit. I thought you were doing a bit.
330...
Because I'm like, we just looked it up.
Is it 332?
No.
42?
No.
52?
No.
I don't know.
Give you one more guess.
62?
Yes.
Really? 362?
Oh, you suck.
I know I do.
I totally thought you were doing a bit. Like, no, you were just screwing around. Like, no, oh, I got
it. I really forgot. Like, I really
30
forgot.
Seconds before.
No. You know, because I'm the kind of person that I cannot look up a telephone number in the phone book, see it, close it, and dial the number. I gotta, like, look at the number while I'm dialing it. I just don't remember things like that very well.
Did you ever see Memento?
Yes.
So he has all the tattoos on him to remind him of things and all that.
Notes and things, right.
I started the new game I'm running for my friends, and it's a short campaign, but it involved none of them remember anything about themselves.
Mm.
And I've got an NPC in there who's with them. And so at one point, one of them says, none of us remember anything? And I couldn't help it. I was like, I have this one tattoo that says, John G. killed my wife? Is that going to matter?
Does that mean anything to anyone?
Yes, do you not? Because somebody was starting to think, because they got into this thing about 2 minutes after the game started where they're like, wait, do you remember when we just woke up? Like, can we just not remember things?
362.
Yeah, 300.
Not the other way around.
Literally. Not the other way around.
I should have remembered that because we just talked about it a minute. Aside from that, because Craig said something made a comment.
Craig doesn't know how many days there are in a year. Yes.
Yeah, apparently. But it did make me think, well, we are getting up to the point where we will have enough that you could listen to one every single day.
And I thought 360 was a nice, right, because, you know, 360 degrees, and we screwed up right before that. I believe 359 was that one. So I've been kind of aware. And then I didn't even think about it, but when Trish was covering for you last week, by definition, it is her job to know what number.
Yes, that would have.
And also, by her definition, she, of course, didn't look that up before. And I didn't realize that until we started recording, and I was like, shh.
I'm just terrible remembering numbers. I'm surprised I ever remember what episode it is when we get here.
I'm just impressed you managed to find this place every time.
Well, you know, I go over it in my head when I'm coming over here, so I can remember.
And yet, still.
Well, this time I didn't check first before I left, because I had to, because the routine was interrupted. I had to pick up my wife. Because I got my driver's license today.
Renewed. I was like, I've driven in a car with you. If you didn't have a license, I am going to be pissed.
And I was done at 2 o'clock.
So I've ridden it.
I should have, like, knocked on your door and said, hey, can we do this right now?
Yeah, no, I was asleep.
Well, that's fine. And that's actually worked out best because my wife was telling me, no, I want you to do it tonight because when you're home, when we're both home together, the last thing I want to do is stuff like taxes. I don't want to.
Because
when she does taxes, it's just her doing taxes.
So she wants you out of the house so she can do the taxes.
Well, because when I'm home, she wants to do something with me.
Yes.
Because we don't normally get to do stuff together because she works at a different place than I do. So when we're home together, she doesn't want to go off and do something that she can only do by herself. So she really actually wanted me out of the house for an extended period of time, so it would make her do this thing.
And why did we start early, though? Is she hoping to be done by the time?
Because it's the same amount of time.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's the same difference to her if it's earlier, because it's the same amount of time. For me, it's better earlier, because there are some things that I need to do after this that I thought would go, like, into midnight, but now it'll only go to, like, 11 o'clock.
All right.
Because my birthday's tomorrow, and so I...
Oh!
And there are certain things I don't want to have to do tomorrow, but I can only do tonight.
So. I, of course, remembered that tomorrow is your birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. It's okay.
I'm See, this is the thing. I used to feel bad forgetting people's birthdays and stuff like that, and then I just sort of turned into the skid, and, like, I don't pay attention to anyone's, and then it's, like, equal, you're right?
Oh.
Like, it's not that I don't pay attention to your birthday, it's that I don't pay attention to humans' birthdays.
I get it, and I'm terrible with birthdays myself. I mean, I only remember yours because we've been doing this for so long, but... Yeah, I don't expect anyone to remember that.
And you'd think because it is the day after my first date and engagement anniversary that would help me remember that it's your birthday.
That's today?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It's always the day after Valentine's. It's always the 15th. You'd think that would help be a clue, but instead that just occludes it.
Oh, no, yeah, that makes perfectly good sense.
And I'm always like,
Isn't it Susan B. Anthony's birthday today? I think that's...
I don't know. I have stopped keeping track of her birthday because she never thanked me for the cards.
My brother and I, my older brother, I'm the second in the family, so I've got one older sibling. He was born on Valentine's Day in 68, and I was born 2 days after that, his first birthday in 69. So, so we would often celebrate our birthdays together on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And because he and I are both DC fans, and we like lots of DC characters, but for whatever reason in the family, we've kind of come to be known for he's the Superman fan and I'm the Batman fan. So we started calling the 15th, which is the day, like I said, we would traditionally celebrate our birthdays together.
Dawn of Justice.
World's Finest.
Oh, okay.
Because you know that comic book. Would have every year they'd have a World's Finest and it would be Batman and Superman, and after a while I think it was other superheroes too. So we call it World's Finest Day in our family.
I think you should call it Dawn of Justice.
Well, we don't fight each other. We cooperate with the world's finest. They're working together.
Well, there's your problem.
Okay, that's fine.
So,
I mean, I got a Batman hat on. I got a Batman shirt.
Do you keep a small amount of a substance that you know will kill your brother just in case he goes rogue?
No. No, because...
Then you're really bad at being Batman.
He will never go rogue.
It could happen.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Oh, it's happened, like... A dozen times.
Not with
in
my brother.
Comic book. You're like, those are just comic books.
Yeah.
Those are just
the real Superman.
Day.
He will never go real.
Can he go backwards around the earth?
No. I don't know if my brother's capable of going rogue. He's just such a good guy.
The fact that
I think it's hard for him to imagine being a bad guy.
You're such a shitty Batman. Batman has to suspect everyone at all times.
Well, I don't. So.
Batman is looking himself in the mirror all the time, too. He's like, got my eye on you.
Yeah, that's true.
And everybody else. Like,
that's true in the comic books, yeah. But no, I'm not.
At any second.
I'm a very trusting sort.
He's super not trusting of Crypto, the dog.
I think
Superman's
I'm,
dog.
I think everyone would say and acknowledge, especially you, that I'm very much more an Adam West Batman.
If for very no much. Other reason than your propensity to break into the Batusi.
That and, you know, I just think of heroism as a very particular thing. I mean, you know,
calling everybody old chum.
Yeah, Bruce, Adam West Batman, you know, would always make a point that they're duly appointed deputies of law enforcement. Mm. So they weren't even vigilantes technically,
nope,
as far as he was concerned.
That's why they had that phone.
Right. and one of the ways you could always get Batman is, you know, you could trick him into things because he was a very trusting Batman at Adam West Batman was. But it was okay because you couldn't outsmart him. He could trust you and be tricked that way, but once you trapped him, he could get out of your trap, so it didn't, the net result was you still lost.
And
he was just that much smarter.
Just like him, you are prone to long, weirdly paced monologues with like odd Christopher Walken-esque pauses in places.
But I'm not as smart as that Batman. I'm not. That's the one thing I don't have.
And you
have
don't dress as well.
No. Not as smart. Not as... There's a lot of things I don't have about that Batman.
Fewer wards.
I'm just more like that Batman than the Batman you were describing.
I thought that was pretty good. Come on, fewer wards.
More wards, in a way.
He's got one. You got zero.
Three. I have three, really.
I don't know if actual kids count as wards.
Well, he adopted him in the comic books.
Yeah, in the thing, he's just his ward.
That's true. isn't that the same thing, like your guardian?
I don't know. I've never had a ward. There was one ward once I knew named Montgomery, and we would shop there sometimes, but...
Wards. That seems so... That seems so weird, wards. It's like, it belongs to a whole other era. I mean, we'd go there to shop when I was a kid, but even then it seemed like it was old, like it was something my grandparents would have grown up with. And then, of course...
Which they did.
Yeah, and then, of course, it went away, so that it's even more like that, even though I went there lots of times when I was growing up.
Yeah. Myron Frank, Montgomery Ward, JCPenney's. Those were my earliest places.
Sears, JCPenney's.
Did some Sears.
And Montgomery Ward's. And JCPenney's was in downtown Des Moines, and then they left there. Yonkers, that was another one.
There was no Yonkers out on the West Coast.
Oh, okay.
Yonkers I got introduced to when we came here. And then what's the Mervyn's?
I don't know.
I think Mervyn's came later. I don't know. They did change around, but... So I took the day off.
Yeah.
For shits and giggles. And it mostly involved a lot of sleeping and a lot of Popeye's chicken.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't my plan, necessarily. That's just how it played out.
Well, there's a Popeye's near here?
Not near here.
Oh.
There's a Popeye's in Coralville.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Have we not talked about this?
Probably, but...
Yeah, we finally have a Popeye's around here. And I'm all over that. But every time I eat it, I regret it afterwards, because I'm like, oh, it's spicy.
Well, my wife would probably love to have...
It's awesome, though.
...chicken like KFC or something, but of course it's all breaded, and she can't have that stuff.
Yeah. So
they don't make gluten-free breading on the chicken.
Although KFC has their tender grill.
Sure, there's... Yeah, you can get...
But what's the point if it's not coated in bready, fatty, deep-fried crust?
That's what she thinks, yeah.
That's the tasty bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, now all we need down here is a Five Guys. And I'll be so happy.
What that is.
Five Guys, burgers and fries. It's a ridiculously tasty burger place. And fries. It's really good.
So my brother was, he turned 50 yesterday.
Oh, goodness.
I'll turn... It'll be my turn next year.
Oh, 50. Goodness.
But we were talking about it. Now, when we grew up, everywhere you went that might offer a senior discount, mostly restaurants, but other places do, it would always be 50 years old. And it's not anymore for most places.
I like how you say that, like Molly Shannon. I'm 50. 50 years old.
So, like, I got to wait till I'm 55 or even 65 for senior discounts in places. I wanted to get senior discounts when I was 50.
They're not that big. Frequently, it's a senior menu, and it's like, here, for less money, have less food.
I guess. I'm not interested in that. But my brother got an AARP card, and he found out that, you could get those anytime. Like, I found that article where the 35-year-old has an AARP
card. I find that weird, because it's the American Association of Retired People.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have to be retired, you'd think?
Well, AARP, it has always, for as long as I knew, you could be 50 years old, or, I thought there was a limit. I thought it was 50. And the reason they had 50 was, obviously, people are retiring when they're 65, at least as I was growing up, but some people could retire earlier, and why not open it up to 50? You're just getting dues that way. Well, I guess they figured, why not open it up to anyone who's willing to pay dues? So that's what they do. I mean, it's just money, right? 16.
Maybe all the millennials... and Bernie Sanders supporters and shit should join the AARP, and as a block they can shift it.
I don't know.
Time goes on, I feel like those two groups are overlapping a lot more heavily in terms of their political positions.
Well, I'm sure what the AARP would say is that they're an advocacy group and they lobby and stuff, and anybody could be in favor of lobbying for retired people.
I've been surprised. The AARP and I agree a lot more than we did when I was younger. And again, I'm not sure that so much says anything about me or them as other things like who the hell's in control of government at the moment. Because when I was younger, I always often was at odds because they were sort of an older, staunch conservative sort of group in a way. And Nowadays, they're like, no, this is insane. And I'm like, hey, I think this is insane, too. Awesome. So maybe I should have joined the AARP.
Well, you know, one issue that I've obviously for our whole lives at least, they've been interested in are those programs that are typically set up for retired people, like Social Security, Medicare, and things like that. Things that are admittedly government programs, but that are paid for by people who work, you know, paying into the thing. So it's not the typical conservative be grumpy about this thing tax and spend program. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's funded by people who work. It's funded by these. You're basically getting some of the money you put in back. It's not exactly like that, of course, but it's mostly that. So there's a lot of conservative people who actually are okay with, you know, Social Security, Medicare, and things like that, especially when they're older and they really depend on it. So I think the AARP mostly, and at least my observation of it, has been that it's, yeah, it can be on the conservative side because, like you say, it's older people, but there are things they stand up for that most Democrats and liberals are in favor of, too. So they seem a lot less partisan than, say, the NRA, for example, or other lobbying groups. To me, that's just my observation. But I don't know. I thought when I turned 50, it'd be cool. Now Scott's turned 50 and doesn't sound that cool.
No, my sister turned 50 just back in December. That makes me feel way more old than whatever age I'm turning, is when my older siblings hit those big milestones. I don't know why.
Well, you and I are only in the same decade for like 2 years.
Yep, right now, though.
Yeah, so we're both in our 40s. Yeah. Right?
40-something.
We're both 40-somethings, but pretty soon we're going to be in separate decades again. I don't mind. I don't mind turning 50. But
I always call you old anyway.
I thought it would be cooler, is all I'm saying.
Wow. See, this is the thing. I think you might be the only person ever who thought the idea of turning 50 was going to be cool.
Well, it's like I always said. When I turned 40, it was like, finally, my God, I've been waiting my whole life. Turned 40. I thought, as 50 started to approach, I realized...
That's when all the cool stuff happened.
No. So before I turned 40, pretty much every birthday I had that I was aware of, I was like, man, it took forever. Like, you know, when I turned 10, man, it took forever to turn 10. It took forever to turn 20. And when I turned 40, it's like, finally. And so all through my 40s, I felt very comfortable in my age and in my skin, so to speak. I mean, I would say the most successful part of my life was actually when I was in my 30s, but I felt most comfortable with myself all through my 40s. So as 50 started to approach, I started to wonder, is that going to change? I mean, is 50 going to be the first age ever where I'm like, I don't like it? Or like, I'm not cool with it? But I'm totally cool with it. It's basically...
You don't know, yeah. You get there, your prostate falls out.
No, it's... No.
I've read about it.
I'm totally cool with it.
It's driving me crazy. There's something the other... People are constantly doing these things of like, so-and-so's 50. So, you know, 400 years ago... They'd be dying by now. And I'm like, no. That is not how the life expectancy thing worked.
No. Mortality was exactly is what was driving it down.
It goes down because you died by one.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you made it to like 20, you could totally go to like 60, 70.
And often did. That's right. And often did.
That's been bugging me.
The one thing that's different, and I think the thing that got me thinking about this was just this past year at some point, I read an article that was about the first time, they were talking about the first time we may send a ship to an exoplanet.
Mm-hmm.
I think a probe even, not a manned mission, but a probe.
Maybe just a car with a mannequin in it.
Right, maybe. But anyhow, and of course...
How it managed to be so awesome and so, like, douchey at the same time. It's insane.
So, this was the first article I ever read where I was... It was a subject that I was excited about. I get excited about all kinds of subjects. Here was an issue I was excited about, and I actually had to consider I might not be alive when this happens. Like every other time in my life when I've read about some exciting thing that's going to happen in 20 years or 30 years, it's like, oh wow, I can't wait till that happens. I can't wait to see that happen. And this time, I could still think that because you know it's like I'll be, I don't know, in my 80s maybe. But what if I'm not around in my 80s? You know, my mom didn't live just barely into her 60s. My dad's in his early 70s, but I don't know if he'll make it to his 80s. Maybe I won't. So that was the first time I ever read an article about something that was going to happen, and they said how long it was going to be. And at first I was excited, as usual, but then I had to go, oh, but maybe not. Maybe I won't. Yeah. And it felt weird. It's like, wow, this is the first time this has happened to me, and it's going to happen from now on, you know. Whenever anyone talks about something that's going to happen in 20 years or 25 years, I can think, I hope I'm around when that happens, but maybe I won't be.
See?
Which was always true.
I always think the same thing, and I think I will continue even when I'm older. When I hear about, oh, in 20 years, this will happen, in 30 years, I always think, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, true. But, and even when, you know, even when I was 20 and someone said something was going to happen when I was 40, I could have thought, quite reasonably, something could happen where I don't make, I mean, you know, people die a lot younger and it could happen to me, but just the odds seem so remote.
Driving around without a license all this time.
So remote that I didn't even think about it. But now I have to consider, well, I hope I'm around when that happens. I really do hope that I'm around, but maybe I won't be. And it's just, wow, that's just really weird to think about that in that way. But
there was something the other day I was talking about, and Trisha was like, yeah, everybody, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not sure, William. And then she looks at me and she's like, Tony, unless it's explicitly said.
Oh, wow. She follows that rule.
Yeah. Too? I was like, oh, my God, you're right. I forgot about that. You're right. Everybody does do that.
Come on.
It's real. We didn't invent it. It just happened.
No.
So we're like halfway through the episode, so I'm probably not going to explain how the episode goes.
If you don't know,
you should go back.
I didn't mean to.
5 or 6 episodes. Because really, it's been weird recently.
You probably want to talk about your week and everything, and I'm just talking about...
I got a lot. You probably have more than me. You said you saw a bunch of movies, and I got to talk about most of my movies last week.
I did see a bunch of movies.
Since then, I saw Moana. Saw Moana last night.
Oh, okay.
Trish had seen Moana just for the hell of it a few weeks ago when she was on her own and liked it well enough that she's like, you need to watch it. So we watched it last night.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen Moana?
Yeah.
I'm pleased. I am in a position where I am unable and unwilling to say if I like it a little better or a little worse than Brave. But suffice it to say, it gets put in a category with Brave that is like a new category of Disney movie.
Agreed.
And I love that category.
I agree. Totally
and I want more of those.
Yep, I totally agree.
That largely have to do with, well, agency in the female lead, but also not having a romantic love thing.
Yeah, like it doesn't even... in this case, it's not even addressed. Doesn't even happen.
Trish was like, I'll speak to this over Brave. Romance just didn't even come up. And I was like, that's because Brave had to push through.
And defy it.
I was like, we had to take that trope and turn it so that then the next one... And finally, I'm like, Merida laid down on the barbed wire so Moana could climb over.
But I liked... There were a lot of things about the film I wasn't thrilled with, but as far as her character goes, I liked her very much.
Most of the stuff I was not thrilled with were standard, it's a Disney movie, or standard, it's a kids movie, and I'm a cynical old man. Otherwise, though, I was pretty pleased with it. I will say this, I loved almost all of the music.
Mm.
I loved about half of the lyrics. And the other half I hated. Some of those lyrics were insipid as hell.
Mm.
Which sucked because they were in songs that were gorgeous. But I'm like, these words are stupid. It made no sense. Yeah. Jermaine Clement's song nailed both
that was my
the music
favorite.
And the lyrics.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
On that one.
I
really liked Maui's song. And my favorite, as far as the music is concerned, is probably Moana's song about going out on the water and everything. But that had some really shitty lyrics in it that were dumb. I never, ever want to know how much Alan Tudyk was paid to voice Hey Hey the Rooster. Because assuming it was more than 3 figures, and I'm betting it was, that's ridiculous.
He didn't say words, did he?
He said burk, burk, burk.
Yeah.
That was it. Like,
why did they get Alan Tudyk to do that when they could have gotten the director could have done
it. I think, I don't know, so you can advertise, hell, a chicken could have done it.
Yeah. Like, true.
Yeah, and I mean, it definitely has some plot issues that I just attribute to Disneyism. And the sort of fairy tale notion.
Well, where are you on the position of whether or not it's okay for Disney to be making this type of fare that, you know, that has speaks to ethnic or cultural?
Well, and that's the thing. It's set up as a sort of very specific Polynesian vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's set up as being Hawaiian, basically. But they step outside of that in several places that make it weird. First and foremost, Maui doing the haka, which I'm like, that's a Maori thing. That is not a Hawaiian thing, very specifically. But as Trish pointed out, the Polynesian diaspora is really sort of a combination of various cultures all bludged together.
Sure, sure.
So some of that, I don't know. I think they did pretty well on being culturally respectful, again, for Disney. Better than most of the things they have at Disney World.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you know, for me, representation is a big thing. I was thinking about this, actually, because I heard some people talking about using the term inclusion, and I don't have a problem with that concept, but I don't so much care about inclusion as I do representation. For example, it doesn't bother me how many films have just white people in them, as long as there are also films that have just not white people in them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't feel like everything has to be one or the other, because there's lots of films out there, and you know, to me, representation is about, you know, if sometimes you're telling a story, like, I don't know, Dunkirk, for example, if you cast it historically accurately, it's probably going to have almost all white guys in it. White men.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is, you know. But then it's okay to have another movie that just has mostly people of color in it for whatever reason that is. But when it comes to representation, you want to be able, or you want to, you know, Disney or whoever, to be able to make films. It's like, well, let's have a different culture here. You know, let's have people who look different and who have a different life. But the problem is, so often, the people who are involved in making the project don't belong to that culture. And we'll get it wrong and misrepresent it, and then it becomes a kind of an appropriation problem.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And some people don't like that cultural appropriation thing. They think, oh, you know, because they don't understand it. You know, they think by cultural appropriation we mean that one culture can't celebrate another culture or can't adopt some features of another culture. That's not what it means. Cultural appropriation means you take something from another culture and you act like it's yours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you invented it, even, and the other culture.
Or you just use it in some weird way that's unrelated.
It's not, you're not celebrating or appreciating that other culture or at all. You're just, you know, it's one thing to borrow something from another culture because you appreciate it, and that's what cultures do. They blend and they borrow, and that's great, and that's, you want that to happen. But it's another thing to use taking something that one culture does and using it for yourself as a mode of oppression. And that is something that happens. There's no point denying that that happens. And Disney is famous for that.
Absolutely.
But
and you thought Moana did that?
I didn't know. It didn't feel like it, right? I mean, a lot of times you see something, it's very obvious.
Yeah, no, this felt pretty... I mean, obviously most of the cast was not Polynesian, but fairly key main characters were,
well,
including Moana.
Well, I'll just put it this way. I would need someone who's Polynesian to tell me if it
is
what I'm saying.
Which, but that becomes a huge, weird rabbit hole.
No,
I mean,
I agree.
I had that when the original trailers for Black Panther were coming out, and I was like, I need some black people to tell me if this is cool or offensive. And I finally was like, you know what? I'm pretty sure it's cool, and so I'm so excited. We're seeing it this weekend, by the way, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, we probably won't until it's on, because it's a Marvel thing. We don't typically see Marvel movies, but I realize it's also significant, culturally significant. So maybe we will see.
And it sounds like it may Marvel has developed things into a fairly successful cookie cutter style, and it sounds like this may break out from that a bit. So that could be very cool.
This whole thing with Black Panther is another thing that some people don't seem to get why it's significant. I mean, I've even heard people say, "Look, it's fake. This isn't even a real African country. What's the big deal?" You know, it's like, why don't you understand this? Why don't you get that in Hollywood? I don't know. You and I both know, and our listeners know.
It's pretty easy. This movie has a whole bunch of black people in it, and they get to be in really cool parts that black people seldom get to be in mainstream movies, to say nothing of all the black women that get to be badass right, in this movie.
As you say,
it's representation.
Yeah, they don't get proportional representation. I mean, as much as people want to think they do, they don't. Or even if when they do get proportional representation in terms of quantity, they don't in terms of quality.
Well, and this speaks to other weird things anyway, but so in the morning, if I'm watching stuff before work, I get a lot more of the kids' commercials and the toy commercials and stuff, mm-hmm. and they got ones for Black Panther, and the kids in the Black Panther toy commercials are black kids, and I'm like, okay, that's a little bit like we have to do there, but I'm like, but this is the point in that now black kids can see black superheroes and be like, hey, I want to be like them, and yeah, just representation, the same way that we all talked about, like, women should be able to see badass female characters that they can aspire to.
Or villains.
Same sort of thing.
I mean, and a lot of it doesn't surprise me when it's mostly white men I see who don't get it. It's like, of course you don't understand why representation is important, because you have representation. And there are a lot of people who aren't white men who say they don't understand it either until they go to a movie and they see someone who looks like them, and then they do get it.
Yeah.
So it does matter. One commentator who talked about this that I saw was talking about how you should just always be telling your kids you can be whatever you want, do whatever you want. It's like, yeah, but kids hear their parents say that, and that's not enough. Of course your parent is going to say that, right? Or your teacher even. But if you don't see it out there in the world, or at least in the media, you're not going to think, oh, well, I can do whatever I want.
That was funny. Well, and...
Right?
Constantly doing it, and it's silly. Like, during Moana, they had some bit near the beginning where she's like, you know, sometimes you have these dreams, but sometimes you just have to face that your life is where it is, and you have to accept responsibility and all that. And there was this pause as she was sad, and I'm like, don't worry, sweetie, you're in a Disney movie, so that's never the right answer. Like, most of the time in life, that's true.
Yeah, right,
but
right.
You're in a Disney movie, so whatever it is, random shit that you think you're meant for, that's what you're meant for.
Right.
Right. Also, Moana, one of the more three-dimensional characters of all the Disney princesses, in my opinion.
Well, that's what I
thought. Which is kind of damning with faint praise, but still.
No, that's exactly what I thought. And, you know, we've talked about this, too, is in the last couple years, I've seen documentaries about the Disney princess movies during the, I guess what you could say was the Renaissance, when
Little Mermaid
and all that stuff.
I think, yeah.
And even though most of those features are quite good in terms of music and so on, I wouldn't necessarily say that. You know, these aren't the movies that I wanted the little girl I was raising to watch
in terms of examples
for what you could be or agency and all the things we've always talked about. But when you watch the behind the scenes stuff and you see how passionate the people who are telling these stories wanted, you know, these characters to be different than the previous ones. So incrementally, the characters were always going toward what Merida would be and what Moana is. So,
well, they change with the time.
Yeah, they pushed it as far as they felt like they could.
Yeah.
And so that actually gave me more of an appreciation for those original characters. I mean, they didn't go to where I wish they could have gone, but they took it to a place where, the next one we can do this, and the next one we can do that. And I really appreciate that process.
When it makes money, then they prove that it's okay to do.
That's right. That's right. And now retrospectively, you can have these characters, like, you know, you can have Snow White in a new feature, and she can be just like Moana or anyone else now. So now they're all kind of they've all been sort of lifted up to this almost feminist level.
I think they might be eventually. I'm not willing to go that far yet. If you look at Frozen, which is the hugely popular one in recent years, it's still problematic as hell.
Well, but that, but if you look at like...
but it was a step.
But if you look at the direct-to-video stuff with Tinkerbell in them, I mean, very good. You've got a diverse cast of women. They're all working together. They're different, you know, in terms of their personalities and their body types, even a little bit, and their skin tone. And I mean, they're great. I would recommend the direct-to-video. There's like five or six of them. Direct-to-video.
There's Tinkerbell. A bunch, because I know the kids next door were into them.
Yeah, I would recommend those to any kids, little girls especially, but any kids. And what's kind of ironic about that is that Lasseter was involved in producing this.
Yeah, Lasseter was big on the end credits for this too, and I was like,
But they're very good. But if you watch the original Disney Peter Pan, which is terrible.
Oh yeah.
Her treatment is pretty awful. Yeah. Pretty awful. So you know, they can change these things retroactively, fix them up, and they do kind of do that.
When Moana's dad grabs a torch and is like, I knew I should have burned those boats years ago. I suddenly got flashbacks to King Triton destroying Ariel's undersea cave, and it like legit freaked me out for a moment that's what was going to happen, and then they went a different direction. I was like, I'm still playing Andromeda, still loving it. I'm about 77 hours in. I'm on my last planet that I have to try and make better. Which is funny, because Stu is involved. Well, Stu's playing at the same time, but he's playing much slower than me, so he's behind. So I get to tell him things like, yeah, I found a planet that was shittier than Kadara. And I'm like, and I know you haven't been to Kadara yet, but just trust me, when you get to Kadara, remember, there's a worse shithole than this. Hard as it is to believe.
My wife is playing the heck out of Battlefront 2. I'm really surprised, but she is... just playing it and playing it and playing it. She likes it. Certain things about it, not all of it.
All right, well, we got to draw a question soon, but got a few minutes here. Quick, tell us all the things you've been doing that you haven't been able to tell us about.
Well, I mean, you know, we've just seen, like, we saw Ghost finally.
Ghost?
Ghost, yeah, you know.
Patrick Swayze?
Ghost? No, Ghost Story, Ghost Story.
Oh, the one that I hated.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you feel? Super curious about this.
Well, it was pretty much what I thought it was going to be, with some slight changes. So there wasn't anything about it that threw me, like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. But it also, I didn't think it was very good.
Did you love the pie-eating scene?
Why? I mean, seriously.
I told you that was going... Runamar is eating a pie for five uncut minutes.
We saw that. Now, there was another film we saw, which I think... Oh, we saw The Big Sick.
You had not seen The Big Sick?
No.
Wait, you had not seen The Big Sick?
No.
I would have forced you to watch The Big Sick.
Well,
how did I miss this?
We saw it.
All right. My brother, so far, is the only person on the planet who really did not like that movie. But consequently, I am prepared if you didn't like it, even though... It was one of my top two from last year, so lay it on me.
I felt like...
You're wrong. It was amazing. It was unbelievable. It was a perfect movie. Shut up.
Okay.
No, how'd you do it?
I think if it were a series of, like, three TV episodes, I would have thought it was great. Because that's what it felt like. The writing felt like TV-level writing, and... some of the acting felt like that too, although not all of it. Like, I thought Ray Romano did just a fantastic
job.
Isn't it,
like, I've hated Ray Romano in basically everything he's ever done except that movie.
Unbelievably good.
Yeah, perfect for that.
I
Holly Hunter also blew me away. I mean, yeah, Holly Hunter's the reason I cried in it.
I just felt like the script was not, I mean, like, it could have used another draft, it seems like. And also, I think Kumail should have maybe let some other actor play his part.
Really?
Yeah, he did not. I felt like he was.
He didn't do a good Kumail.
I mean, I realize he's playing himself and all that, but it just—I didn't get any chemistry really between him and any of the other actors. I didn't. And a lot of the jokes seem to fall flat for me personally, even though I usually think he's very funny. So he didn't work for me in the movie, and the script didn't work for me. But it was a fine film. I wasn't sure how it deserved all the award accolades, in my opinion. And like I said, if it had been a TV show or three episodes of a TV show, I would have thought, yeah, this is good. It felt TV to me. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, you and my brother can just go suck it.
But I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. I just didn't.
I know, but because you didn't love it completely, you have to hang out with my brother. I saw my brother a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. That's good.
His oldest goes to the same college that he went to and that he works at now, Gustavus Adolphus. Actually, his two oldest kids go to Gustavus Adolphus, and one of them, the third one's too young. his oldest son is in the choir, in like the big concert choir, and they were doing a regional tour, and they performed at, it's a Lutheran college, so they perform at Lutheran churches around the area, and they were performing at the First Lutheran up in Cedar Rapids. So my brother's like, hey, we're coming through. Do you want to have dinner? And so
sure,
we did.
Sure.
No, I remember because as we were leaving the pizza place, Trish was like, so did you see the Big Sick got all this stuff? And I was like, are you just screwing with him? You know he hated that movie. And on the way out, she was like, well, can we at least all agree like Ray Romano is good? I was like, no, this is the problem. My brother, in his last ditch attempt to find common ground, said, can we at least agree that Ray Romano was horrible? And I'm like, no! In
what?
Any other case, I would absolutely agree with that. But this is the one time I really loved what he did.
Oh, no, he was outstanding. I liked everybody in it,
yeah.
But not Kumail for some reason. And I've liked Kumail in everything I've seen him in, so I don't know why.
You're just a little dead inside.
Maybe that's what it is. It seems like I've seen some other things, too,
well, those were two pretty big ones.
Yeah, they're pretty big. We saw the first installment of the anthology series that's based on Philip K. Dick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not warn you?
Well, I liked it.
I thought I warned you. Really?
The first one? I liked it.
Lesbian Supercop in the future and versus Terrence out. Like, I thought it was a... Well, first of all, I feel like the inspiration, whatever, is just Total Recall. And that's one of the shittier versions of Total Recall I've seen. Yeah, and it just had... we watched that and we watched the next one. And we're done.
Okay, well, I've just seen
the
first
one. To us, it's like shittier Black Mirror.
I saw the first one, and I knew what it was. I mean, I predicted what was going to happen right out of the gate.
Mm.
So that's a point against it, obviously. I'm really not that impressed with what's her name.
Anna Paquin.
Yeah, I know. She won an Academy Award when she was 10 or something like that. But
well, and she's been busy. She was Rogue in all the X-Men movies, and she was.
I didn't like her as that character
in True Blood.
I just didn't. I was never impressed with her adult stuff. But something about the way they handled the theme seemed unique and different to me. The whole aspect of how you know the way the character decided, well, I don't want to give any spoilers away, I guess, if people want to watch it. But I thought the psychological issues were kind of unique and handled in a unique way, even if the rest of it was cliche.
They were slightly updated. The fact that they addressed some issues involved were a little updated. But in general, it just, they weren't great performances. It wasn't,
no.
Neither storyline had really believable premises.
No.
It felt like a weak Outer Limits to me, and then... And again, it's very much, and to be fair, some of the blame may be laid at Philip K. Dick's feet. Like the Beatles, he did wonderful shit and broke through some boundaries and was really impressive, and we owe him a lot. Also, like the Beatles, some of his stuff, in retrospect, you're like, wow, that's kind of old-fashioned and dumb.
Right.
And some of that is he did like to do these last-minute twist things.
Yeah, yeah.
That is why his shit is so suited to... little sci-fi anthologies, and the next episode's gonna have the same thing. Like at the last minute, it'll be like every episode.
I mean, it could be like just 2 minutes into it, my expectations were on the floor.
Yeah,
I mean, because nothing happened in it that I didn't predict. But they, like I said, they dealt with some themes.
You're just seeing the shot of Anna Paquin and her partner in the diner, and you're like, she's going to turn into Terrence Howard.
Well, not that exactly.
Like, I can tell already.
No, but as soon as she was going to visit a virtual reality,
I knew it was
going to be, oh, now we're going to have to wonder which one's real.
Yeah, I knew that. That's the only time you ever visit virtual reality.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. But what surprised me, or what I didn't expect, was that they would deal so much with the psychology of the character and how the psychology of the character impacted how they perceive what's real. I mean, I thought that was interesting.
And they never terraformed Mars, though, so it was kind of sad.
Well, okay.
Also, I had trouble throughout the episode realizing that her partner was not chubby Michael Pena. Like, that guy is an actor in his own right, but he so just looks like Michael Pena having gained a little weight. And I couldn't figure out who the fuck he was. I think I looked him up later, but that threw me a lot.
Okay. I don't know what that even means.
Michael Pena is an actor. Chubby means he's a little heavier than...
But I don't know who... I don't really know who he is, or... I'm not getting the comparison, because I don't know who you're making reference to.
He was the ethnic sidekick in Ant-Man, if that helps.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't really help anyone, including Michael Pena. He's the guy in those weird-ass Bud Light commercials that's neither Seth Rogen nor Amy Schumer.
Don't know.
Nor Adam Scott. Is Adam Scott? I don't know. They were done around the election time. Nobody cared.
I don't know.
Nobody drinks Bud Light. And if they do, they're never going to stop. You don't need commercials.
They're never going to stop.
If at this point you're drinking Bud Light, that's just your MO.
I know, but what about people who don't drink it yet? Maybe the commercials will get them to drink it.
I don't think so. I feel like...
That's hilarious.
I don't feel like there are...
So you think Bud Light commercials are designed to keep people who are already drinking it?
I think they're wrong. I think they don't need Bud Light commercials, and they're not aware they don't need...
Okay.
At this point, my belief is that any new Bud Light drinkers are through massive amounts of peer pressure.
Okay.
Or... severe financial difficulties.
Okay.
And
that's all the advertisement they need.
Exactly. They're like, we know you don't want to drink it, but do you have a lot of friends that drink it? Because otherwise it might be embarrassing if you're getting that new craft beer. Alternatively, it's cheaper than the good stuff, so are you really making fat tire kind of money here? Come on.
Well, now, isn't it true, though, that breweries...
breweries?
Make...
like jewelries, but with breweries?
Breweries.
There you go. That's not what you said the first time.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You said breweries, and I want that to be a word. I don't know what it's going to mean, though.
Did I say that? That's weird. Anyway, make deals with bars or whatever. I mean, isn't that really how they get their brand out there, is the deals they make, or like they... kind of like soft drinks do, right? Like soft drinks, like Pepsi probably. Says, you're just going to, KFC, probably. You're just going to sell Pepsi.
And supposedly Bud Light's the most popular beer in the country. Everywhere you go has Bud Light on tap. I don't know. I just don't see the point. Most of the time when I see people coming out of grocery stores with beer, it's with Busch or Natty. And I can talk from experience that both of those are terrible. Those are beers that I would drink them after I was already drunk, and even then I thought they were shitty. And you'll drink anything when you're already drunk. So those are the worst beers in anywhere. And you should all be ashamed, but...
okay.
Don't drink Bud Light. Don't listen to Michael Pena. He was that weird ethnic stereotype in that one Ant-Man movie. And it was Ant-Man, so it didn't have a lot going for it already. But I'll bet Paul Rudd drinks something better, is what I'm saying. Because he can afford it, and he doesn't have a lot of peers pressuring him to drink Bud Light. Except maybe Seth Rogen. You got to stop me at this point. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. So let's draw something out of the hat.
All right.
The hat.
Oh, man.
I've forgot to talk about the new game that I'm running, but it's going well. I'll talk about it more next time because more shit will have happened.
Beth.
No, my name's Tony.
In a abridged.
Beth is queen of the abridged question. Beth likes to write long things.
Beth says, just wants to note that the Hawkeye Marching Band has their first female drum major of the modern era, and pointing out that they had one back in World War II.
Sweet!
I presume because the guy was off fighting in the war or something.
Probably.
First
Rosie
female
drum major.
Now? This hasn't happened until now?
It's not. But if they only get... It's like presidents. If they only get one every 4 years or whatever.
I guess.
Good for them, though. Because, yeah, this came up... Beth is probably when he told us after we talked about the Golden Girl and the drum major, and I had thought they were sort of counterpoints, but apparently drum major unrelated to the Golden Girl and didn't necessarily have to be male.
Well, when I was in school, I was a...
You were probably there when that earlier World War II one was...
When I was in
Melcher. I've heard you're old. Don't worry, it's not a delivery person. When I was in Melcher, it sort of is, but she lives here. Hi, baby.
Happy anniversary!
Thank you! Where's my flowers? I was just kidding.
Aw, you made her
look
sad.
She brought pizza, that's even better.
Pizza with flowers?
We were just talking. Yeah. Apparently, the University of Iowa has its first female drum major of the modern era. They had one like in World War II, but nobody can remember who it was anymore.
Really? I'm not sure it counts.
According to Beth, not Westlake anymore. She's Beth DiGiorno or something like that.
Okay, but see, when I was in Melcher, I was a drum major, but the two people, at least three people before me, were women.
Meltzer's a really progressive town.
No. That seemed like a thing that... I mean, there were male drum majors and female drum... In all the other schools, too. There wasn't...
I was going to say, when I was in school, we had three drum majors, and... Yeah.
How many were female?
Well, it varied depending on the year, but...
1 to 3. 0 to 3.
But
actually, there was one year that all three of them were. I don't remember if there was ever one. There was definitely two.
Was there ever zero?
No.
Wow.
In fact, in my school, I think part of it was you might become a drum major if you were in the color guard or the rifles, and that was predominantly female. So that wasn't unusual for you to go from there to drum major. Of course, if you could be a drummer and become a drum major also, but you know what I mean. So they're pretty equal opportunity from what I can recall, not just in my school, but all the schools that we competed with.
When I was in school...
Because you had three, so that when you turned to the back of the field, you could still...
Yeah, all right. We only ever had...
Well, I think it's a title more than an occupation at the university. I'm sure there are people who fulfill the role.
That's the thing.
at the beginning of the parade,
I'm
right.
Sure there are people who do drum major things that aren't the drum major. They are a drum major.
Well, and to be fair, they have the Golden Girl, who's kind of...
Yeah, we were talking
about
this
that. Is what brought this whole thing up, because I thought they were the counters... And then somebody on the forums, or not forums, but on the blog, explained that they were really sort of separate and that there was nothing that said the drum major had to be a boy, and then now it's not. But when I was in school, I was in drama and didn't give a fuck about anything that had to do with marching or sports or any of that, so I have no idea what my high school did, and I didn't care. And I stand by that.
Did they get separate?
Nope.
I was a drum.
They were waiting for Poly Eyes.
Drum major. I was a basketball captain. I was an editor of the newspaper. I mean, I did everything because I had to because it was a tiny little school.
There were six of you. You had 12 jobs.
I was in drama too.
You
but
were the
I was,
entire basketball team.
No, not the entire one. I think being a captain was almost an honorary thing because I was a senior at that time. I think I was.
Nobody listened to anything you said anyway.
Well, just you know, well, they're not. They just feel like, because the only thing I did...
They call you Cap?
The only thing I did well in basketball was defense, which at that time was not as... Because this was before the era of Dennis Rodman. When Dennis Rodman was playing, suddenly everyone thought defense was great, but no.
I didn't know Dennis Rodman went to Melcher Dallas High
Shut
School.
Shut up. But,
that explains so much.
I was very good at defense, but that's all I was good at. And nobody cared.
I told William about the other day you had to remind me that unless he's specifically mentioned, everyone can not include William. Yeah. He was deeply hurt.
I was crushed. I was like a puddle on the floor. Yes.
Yeah, we talked about Moana. Like he finally saw a ghost story.
Yeah, what did you think?
He liked it okay. And he finally saw Big Sick.
Yeah.
He only liked it okay. So I'm kicking him out of my house. Because it's time anyway.
I didn't really like Ghost Story that much.
Shh. We don't record those.
Oh, yeah.
Those are handled in a different universe.
Sorry.
Damn it.
Sorry. Is Evil
you
William...
are bad at producing.
Is Evil William also kicked out of the Evil House?
We don't know. That's a different universe.
Okay. I'm going to leave it there.
Oh, yeah, okay. Bloody and lying on the ground in the dirt. Yeah, that's a great place to leave it.
Sure.
Yeah. Don't want to go too far or nothing. Go eat your pizza. She's lucky she's rich.
Are we done then?
We are done.
All right.
If you'd like to make sense of anything we've said, go to the blog, themagicstockinghat.com, and tell us what Beth's last name really is now, because I don't think it is DiGiorno, but it's something Italian, or fake Italian in
delivery.
The case of DiGiorno. Yeah,
Beth,
yeah.
Beth Delivery.
Yeah, Beth Delivery. That doesn't sound right. Also listen again, and also tell your friends.
Well, but
and,
it's not Delivery, it's DiGiorno.
We love you guys. My last name is also not Delivery. But my last name is also not DiGiorno. I feel like you have been led astray.
Someone told me
by
this.
Someone. I love the idea that you've never seen that commercial. And literally just a friend is like, dude.
Someone told me.
There's only two options.
It's either Delivery
or DiGiorno. What's it? I don't know, man. But those are the only two things it can be. All right, let's get out of here.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.